So you now leave Amref after a fantastic batch. Actually, not short. Yeah. You know, it's
4 years.
It's the theme. You know, it's around 3 to 4 years of stay within an institution. Very nice, actually. Mm. And you have just introduced that you've gone to, you now move to Aga Khan. So what period is this? Around 2018, 2019, 2020?
In COVID period.
In COVID period?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's recent. 2020. Aha. Mm.
We're in 2022.
Yes. So you moved to Aga Khan in 2020.
Yes. September. Uh-huh.
September.
2020, yeah.
Meanwhile, before you even do there, have there been, alongside this, have there been other, other than, I mean, you mentioned you finalized with your divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But have there been other things, maybe career-wise or board-wise, that, or other things that are happening within that period? Or alongside that,
I think,
that period, like when you were at Amref?
Yeah, I think the divorce, you know, divorce is a long series of, it's three courts that you go to.
Okay.
Yeah. There is the divorce court, mm-hmm. there is the children's court, and there's mm-hmm. the matrimonial property court.
Oh, man. Okay.
Yeah. So that's, I usually say, getting out of a marriage in Kenya is very complicated,
mm-hmm.
especially if you have children and property.
Mm-hmm.
So within that space, there was a lot of, and they're very draining emotionally.
Mm.
There was a lot of just figuring out. I started first with a divorce,
mm-hmm.
and then I did children's court.
Mm-hmm.
So just figuring out what next from here. Mm. And then I think last year is when I did matrimonial property court. So that's like a period of 4 years.
That's a long period of time.
But it's because I took a break, because it was just
too much
negative energy.
Mm. At, is there a marker for success in divorce?
It's just how civil you both are with each other.
Mm.
Yeah. Although Kenya does, the Kenyan law doesn't recognize divorce by mutual agreement.
Mm.
You have to find cruelty.
Mm.
So people make up stories in those divorce courts. I think if we went to a place like in the West where you shake hands and say cheers, it would make many marriages more bearable because you don't have to stick onto something that's broken or irreparable.
Mm.
So that was it.
In your case, sorry, just to tackle this a little. In your case, was that you are raising kids? You have a son. Mm. You have daughters.
Mm.
How is the experience
mm-hmm.
of going through divorce while raising kids? And are you sheltering them, or are you explaining to them what's going on?
My principle with my children has always been to be open.
Mm-hmm.
So we talk about sex, we talk about taboo topics, we talk about relationships. So when I was going through the divorce, I think my son was 7 and the triplets were 5.
That's the first court.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we had agreed with my then ex that that would have the conversations as a couple with them.
Mm.
But I ended up doing it alone because he didn't come through.
Mm.
So I just sat them down and told them this is what is going on, without going into many details, but just saying mom and dad are no longer friends, and so dad is going to live in this other house.
Mm.
But that means you have two houses, which is a plus.
Mm.
But we both, you know, love you unconditionally and whatnot. So I think each process differently, because there's one who was quite angry with the dad, quite angry, and you could see she would express herself in some outbursts. And there's another one who cried, because that is that was her way of expressing. And then the other two just never spoke about it. So here and there, we try and bring it up just to judge, to gauge how they've absorbed the information. Yeah, but I think so far, so good. I thought maybe they would need counseling. They didn't, but I had to go for counseling. For the children's court, you know, the children get interviewed.
Mm.
Yeah, by the case officer.
Without the parent present?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. If they are the age of giving information, they do get interviewed.
Mm.
So children's court wasn't too bad because there was no contest.
Mm.
So I got custody of the children, both physical and legal.
Mm.
And that meant that now I had to focus on raising them because, you know, now they are dependent on you fully. Mm. So then the matrimonial, by then I was just totally drained. So I moved on to other things. I dated. I picked up my life.
Mm.
And then I moved houses because I'd been in that house for 11 years.
Mm.
And I felt it held a lot of sad memories.
Mm.
So an opportunity came up for me to move.
Mm.
And I moved. And I realized I was carrying a lot of baggage.
Mm.
And just getting into a new environment was a bit, it was therapeutic.
Mm.
So then I got the energy to start the conversation on matrimonial property.
Oh.
Yeah, so that was also resolved. Mm. Like that one, you can now agree externally, sign an agreement, and then it's lodged in court. Mm. So like that one, I didn't go to court.
Mm. Okay.
Because we agreed and then lodged it.
Okay.
Mm. So that is, yeah, so he has access to his children.
Yeah.
So he gets to interact with them.
Yeah.
And the children know.
So you're co-parenting as,
yes,
as it were.
Yes, we're co-parenting, yeah.
And on that end, it's successful. It's mutually,
it is, let's see, I have come to work with what I'm given.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because right. you learn to pick your battles.
Yeah. 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 All right. And but the kids are growing.
Yeah, there. They're growing. That's 5-6 years now.
Mm.
5 to 6 years. Mm. Yeah. Mm. So you, they know more the divorce life than the married life.
Mm.
Yeah, so I think that's, and they have friends who have also are from single parent families.
Mm.
And so I think it's, they now know some many families are like that.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's okay.
Mm. Mm-hmm. And as you say, you have started dating as well, and
immediately the separation happened. I'm not a sucker for hanging on to sadness. The relationship was long dead by the time it was physical separation. It had long died.
Yeah
But if you still have baggage, it's best to process some stuff, because it's very easy to carry it to the next relationship.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Good that we have that entire context. So a lot of this is happening whilst career-wise you're at either AMREF or have moved to...
AMREF. AMREF bore the most of the the legal issues.
So as a career woman at the time, does going through all of this also, what's the interface or interplay with work? Do you feel there is pressure for you at work or pressure to you at the home front because of all of this that's happening? How do you juggle all of that?
I think for me, I compartmentalize issues. Uh-huh. So even when parenting or raising the kids, if I'd travel, because I traveled a lot, I wouldn't call home. I wouldn't call to check up. Or I'd call because it's routine for us to speak before we go to sleep. But I wouldn't call checking, oh, is the baby all right? Even when they're young and breastfeeding. If I'm gone, I'm gone. I've left you. And I put them on a routine. So it was easier. Even at night, I'd give the house girls the kids at 9 o'clock and told them my shift starts at 6 a.m. So I think because I've always known I've been in high pressure jobs and traveling jobs, that I needed to make my kids very independent and not reliant on me. So I also empowered my house girls. Like my house girl now, she drives, so if I'm not there, she'll take them to school.
Very nice.
the kids know what to do.
Mm.
So because of the programming,
mm.
even if they've gone to stay at a friend's place, they know this is what we do. We shower at 6 p.m.
Mm.
or we wake up at this time or we go to bed at this time.
Mm.
So it's something that, because I inculcated at a young age for them.
Mm.
So that meant that when I was at work, I was at work fully.
Mm.
And then I hardly ever carried work home.
Mm-hmm.
So again, when I was at home fully.
Mm.
And then I had dedicated time with them, like Sundays, family days.
Mm.
I take time off that time when I was employed.
Mm-hmm.
I used to take time off during their holiday. Mm-hmm. So it's a week for the two holidays. And then over Christmas, there's that holiday. Then we travel, we do things together.
Mm-hmm.
So they would know that if I was working, they know that there's a time for them that's coming.
Mm.
Or maybe there'll be the time for them and they'll know I'll have to go.
Mm-hmm.
And that has really, really helped.
Mm.
In terms of the emotional things, I think I coped by pouring myself into the work.
Mm.
And I have very few people who even knew I was going through a divorce.
Mm.
So because I'm able to shut off.
Mm.
If I mean to shut off something, I'm able to shut off.
Mm.
But also that runs the risk of me not being able to fully process things
mm-hmm.
because I sweep them under the carpet and move on.
Mm.
So I'm learning to go through the emotions in a healthy way so that they don't pop out
later.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So that, I think that's what happened.
Okay.
But I'm usually so busy, so distracted. I think there's very little time to mop.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe when I'm dead in the night. But during the day, there are too many things to do.
There is a lot happening.
Yeah.
Activity,
yes.
action, and social impact is at the forefront of this. All right. So how does Aga Khan come about then?